How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim, and I'm joining you live from HR Transform at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. And today we're going to tackle the issue of getting people ready to lead. One of the most challenging aspects of the day-to-day organizational life is getting new leaders up to speed. And to help us solve that problem, we have Regina Ross, who is the Chief People and Culture Officer at Khan Academy, joining us. Regina, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
So super excited to have this conversation with you. I think a good point of order for us to get rolling on is share with the audience a little bit more about your story and some of the things that drive you and maybe even some of the interesting things that you're up to at Khan Academy.
Yeah. So I am not your traditional HR leader. I started my career in engineering and then spent some time in operations, logistics, and was tapped on the shoulder actually when I worked at Target and asked to step into an HR role. I say that I crossed over to the dark side and I've never looked back. What I love about my background and me bringing this to is that I understand the business. And so I try to make sure that the HR strategy is connected to the business outcomes and drives and enables the business success.
One of the interesting things about what you just mentioned was your experience at Target.
Yeah.
So high velocity, high churn retail. So when you look at that experience and now you look at your leadership role at a learning organization, how did that shape your people strategy and philosophy throughout your career?
Yeah. One of the things I loved about Target is that they believe as a people leader, one of your most important aspects of your job is leading your team. So when I became an senior operations leader at Target, one of my new hire onboarding sessions was thinking like an HR manager. They wanted us as operations leaders, as executives, to understand the people impact and make sure that we leaned into developing our people, managing our people, taking care of our people. Because if we did that, they would take care of the guest and they would take care of the business.
So I really like what you said there in terms of the mindset that operational leaders need to have in terms of all of the stuff that's related with people development and across the entire employee lifecycle. Here's the argument that will often get brought up by business leaders, which is, oh, we're running so lean. We have so many things to get done. We don't have time for any of this stuff. We have this never-ending list of tasks that need to get accomplished. How do you respond to that and overcome that obstacle that gets thrown in front of you from the business?
And I understand that because I'm a business leader at heart. The way that I was trained at Target, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is that you don't have time to not make time for your people. If you don't invest the time up front, you're going to pay for it on the end. So think about giving someone a fish versus taking the time to teach them to fish. I'm also an executive coach. And so one of the things that we do as a coach is teach managers coaching skills to bring out the best and bring out the brilliance in their teams so that they don't have to be there all the time to solve the problems, to answer the issues. Coach and develop your team. Raise them to a higher level so that you can operate at the right level instead of you being down in the weeds managing the day-to-day when you don't have to be.
I love that example that you used. There's something really important in what you mentioned there, and especially when you look at the day-to-day of a manager, one of the big challenges that happens in a lot of organizations is that managers, whether they're new or not, always have to fight this temptation of getting back into the trenches. Mm-hmm. So I want to tie that back in to the core concept of the show or core conversation that we're having, which is getting people ready to lead. Tell us a little bit more about some of those best practices that leaders within organizations should be doing, should be embedding in their organizations that get their individual contributors, their managers, their executives better equipped to lead.
Yeah. And I will take a note from McKinsey.org. We went through a 6-month ability to execute lead program, A2E lead program, where you're talking about leading yourself, leading your team, and then leading the mission. And so one of the things that I think is important as a new leader or if you want to grow in your leader is understanding yourself, understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, understand your trigger points so that you can surround yourself, hopefully, by others who have strengths in areas where you don't And also, how do you show up authentically to express value in your team, in your business? Once you have the understanding of yourself, then you can lean in and be more effective in leading your team and then leading the business ultimately.
That makes a lot of sense from a theoretical perspective. Yeah. So let's make it real.
Yes.
So in today's world of work where everybody's stretched thin, what are some practical things that senior leaders should be doing to create the space for that among their director ranks, among their manager ranks, and even cultivating that capability out of their individual contributor ranks?
So one thing in particular, so just brass tactics, is there's a establishing ground rules with your boss toolkit or a template where if you're coming into a new role as a leader, have that conversation with your direct reports. Here are my expectations of what success looks like. Here's how I like to give and receive feedback. Here's my cadence on one-on-ones, et cetera. Make sure you establish those ground rules early on so that there's not a confusion on down the road about giving feedback or what success looks like. So that's one tactic. The other thing, too, that I would say is making sure as a leader, for me, I just promoted someone to a manager role, and I'm articulating my expectation that they're having one-on-ones with their direct reports. And then, of course, I'm having one-on-ones with them. And we're talking about not just the business basics, but also their development. Where are you strong in? Where are you weak in? How do we make sure that you have a development plan in place that is helping you to shore up those weaknesses so that they don't become a detriment? And then how can you soar with your strengths? I love to say, how can you live and lean into your zone of genius and spend most of your time there? So those are just some practical things to help leaders like lead with confidence in the areas where they're strong, and then acknowledge and recognize where they have some weaknesses and don't try to cover it up. Because if you don't address it or if you don't mitigate those risks, then it could cause, you know, just be detrimental to your impact.
I absolutely agree with you. I think one of the things that I would expect to encounter when we're thinking about new managers or emerging leaders is the fear of exposing those weaknesses.
Yes.
So what's your advice when it comes to creating the habit of being transparent at that level so that you can lead more effectively?
I think it starts with us. So part of what I've done with my people operations team is that we've gone through different assessments. DISC is one of the ones that we use. We talk about our strengths and our styles. And so I'm leading the charge of opening up and being vulnerable about what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. Here's my communication style. And then that creates a space and the psychological safety for the rest of the team to open up as well and say, hey, here's where I need help. Another thing that you can do as a leader, and this is what I do, we have a Monday stand-up. What are your big rocks? What are your priorities? What are your concerns? And then what help and support do you need? And I lead with that. Hey, here's what I'm working on. Here are my concerns, and here's the support I need. And then my team follows suit.
Let's dig in a little bit deeper. So the use case that I'm curious about, this makes sense from a director level up, having these sort of conversations. Yeah. Let's look at that individual contributor that might have potential.
Yes.
How do they address these concerns and bring that to the surface of their managers or their skip level so that they're on the radar for future development opportunities and being prepared intentionally for leadership?
So very tactically, one-on-ones, and this is something that I make sure that my team does, and then our managers, just making sure you're having regular one-on-ones with your individual contributors. I say to the ICs, you own those one-on-ones. You set the agenda. You make sure that they're on your manager's schedule. You come prepared. Part of your one-on-one should not just be talking about the business, but talking about your developmental aspirations, and then making sure that you have a very direct and candid conversation with your manager about where they see you and what their assessment is. I recommend that people use competency assessments so that you can see, hey, what are the competencies needed for this next role? Where am I short? Where am I strong? And how do I close the gap? And then develop a individual development plan that helps you to shore up those gaps. And so those are very tactical things. And then we're having quarterly reviews or quarterly check-ins instead of waiting once a year to have a performance review. But part of those quarterly check-ins is, again, talking about the business outcomes, the progress, and then talking about your progress against your development plan. What support do you need, and where are we going in terms of the advancement to the next level or your career progression?
Awesome stuff, Regina. I know we're just scratching the surface in this conversation. If people want to continue the discussion, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
I live on LinkedIn, so that's my jam. Find me there. I'm also an executive coach, and I have my own coaching practice, walkonpurpose.com. And this is where I support people that I I'm not able to work with on a day-to-day basis on my job. So you can find me there as well.
When I think about this conversation and what stands out to me, it's the last bit that we talked about, which is getting individual contributors driving their development.
Yes.
You should not. And the reason why it resonated with me is that this is one of those things that I did as an individual contributor. And I also told all of my reports when they were coming up through the ranks, you need to set the agenda and drive that and create a collaborative environment with your leader or leaders to get you to the next level of the conversation.
Absolutely.
And the key reason why that's important is that if you don't do that, a lot of leaders who are probably not as equipped will turn that one-on-one into a status report about projects that you have. And that defeats the entire purpose of a one-on-one. So that's one thing that that stood out to me about our conversation. So for those of you who have listened to this discussion, we appreciate you hanging out. If you like the chat, leave us a review. If you haven't already done so, join the HR Impact community, and you can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And tune in next time where we'll have another great leader like Regina sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.